Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I am Tom Pickup, and welcome to the Really 007 podcast. And we've got a special episode tonight dedicated to 007 GB, the brand spanking new British James Bond fan club. So welcome to its founder and president, Philip Dewhurst. Welcome, Philip.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome, Mr. Well, I don't know who this chap is, actually. I've never seen him before. Wearing a pink shirt.
I'm always wearing a pink shirt, Tom. Come on.
I know. Well, it's David Lowbridge Ellis, who is the fan club's editor-in-chief, editor-at-large for the official title. So we'll be chatting to these guys about this amazing new venture. We at Really 007 are very excited. And I've got Harry with me and I've got Rob. So good evening, chaps.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So yeah, just before we get on to chatting about that, we're on YouTube. We're on iTunes and Spotify. Got our own website, Pod Dojo. And if you just search Really 007 Pod, you should find us on all social media. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So please join in. Tonight, we are really, really excited. I know this is all very new, but it's weird that it is new because you would think there was a long-standing British James Bond fan club, but apparently not. Philip, can you explain how there isn't for a start? You know,
I know a little bit about the story. I mean, I think everybody has little pieces of this, and if we all joined together, we'd have some sort of complete narrative. But the story I'd heard, yes, there was a club, and in fact, it had I think nearly 2,000 members at its height in the late 80s. I mean, that was a time before the internet, and it was a time when a club such as this, a fan club of any nature, was the main source of contact for people in the community of whatever fandom it may be, or to get news, letter writing, things like that. So I can understand why it had that sort of following. I think then along the way in the 90s, there was a commercial element added into the club, which I think Eon didn't particularly take too kindly to. And then there was the person involved in one of the magazines, and then they would change into the international club. There was supposed to be some sort of conjoining and joining forces there, but I don't think they ever reconciled the making the money with not being able to make the money, or being told they can't make the money, or who had the right to this, who had the right to that. And by that time, I think from a lack of any content coming out, it just naturally died off. There is still the International James Bond Fan Club, which claims to have members in X amount of countries. I'm not knocking them. I don't know the people involved, never met them, never approached them, didn't approach them for this club because, I mean, if you've had a shot at it one time before and all the stories I'd heard weren't good, again, not knocking the people involved, but I just thought we'd go a different way with this, which is what we've done. So there was the club, but there was no active club. Nobody was doing anything. We weren't meeting up. There weren't events. There wasn't a magazine. I would have to travel to Switzerland, to Germany, to France in order to get that sense of James Bond community in club events. You know, they've been running for 27 years, 25 years and 15 years, I think, respectively. We were just dead in the water and it didn't make any sense to me. So, of course, it's one of those things you either put up or shut up. And enough people along the way had convinced me that it was a good idea, but I still didn't feel like I had a hook, a real reason. And then I just said to my wife, I said, you know what? If it's for charity, then there's a reason to try and bring something back to the table. It'll give people the motivation to go back to those good old days of a club. And then obviously contacted people like David and many others. And from that, the club is now here and strong already within a matter of weeks.
Awesome. Philip, can I ask, was there a tipping point? Was there a particular moment when you were like, here in the UK, we're missing something here? Was there a particular moment or was there perhaps a revelation at some stage that made this, you know, I know you mentioned speaking to your wife and you were like, you know what, we're going to do this. But was there a moment where you thought, what is going on here? Why do we not have this?
Yes, there was. There was three key moments that led up to a final moment. The charity bit was the click. That was the why in the financing of it. But what led up to it was speaking to the president of the Swiss Club at one of his events, seeing how he interacted with people and was being quite selfless in his time and what he was doing and how much that meant to people that he'd created something or that his team had created something. That was number one. Then there was at the bar with the French president, and he said, you know, you do it. You've got a personality. If you do it, we'll all support you. So that was the second one. I thought, yeah, you know what? Okay, so it's not going to be me just putting my balls on the chopping block for one with no protection. There's going to be a few friends around there to fend off the samurai. But then there was the conversations I had with the Bond girls, and I could see how much it meant to them to travel to the various events and to meet the fans and to be wined and dined as if it was still the 1960s and they were still about to go on set to Thunderball or From Russia With Love or the 70s on Spy Love Me. You know, so in effect, I'm talking about Luciano Paluzzi, Caroline Munro and Martin Beswick, who, for those who don't know me, I'm very close friends with all three of them. In fact, why I was a couple of minutes late to this myself was because I just got off the phone with Luciana Paluzzi and I speak to her every week. So that was another moment where they said, you should do this because you will bring people together and they will know that you're not doing it for yourself. They'll know you're doing it so that we can all be part of it. And we want you to carry on taking care of us in the very best sense, not in terms of we want things from you, but we know that you can facilitate more opportunities for the fans to connect with us in a nice way. And that with all the best will in the world, when they're halfway up a mountain in Switzerland, it doesn't translate the same as being in London with at the home of James Bond with the British people. And so that was the next one. And then, the French event, I think it was October last year, Luc Leclerc, the president, had put a little surprise in his interview with Barbara and Michael Broccoli. In order to just tip me over that edge, he had asked them directly, what do you think about the fan clubs? So they said, we think it's great what the Swiss, the French, the German do. And then he said, why is there no English club? Why is there no British club? And Barbara said, that is such a shame. I don't know why. And he said, I will make it happen for you. And then on the ship that day, he passed me the microphone and said, announce to everybody that you're going to be the president or you're going to be the founder at the very least. So a few bottles, not glasses, a few bottles of Bollinger in with a cigarette hanging out of my hand. I took the microphone and announced to a bunch of French people. I had no idea what I was talking about. The 007 GB is born. That is the name. And I just went 007 GB because I thought the shorter I make it, the more they might understand with the meme French. And so we came back from that trip in October, went to the Shaken Not Stirred event, stood up with the microphone again and said, yeah, the club's going to be born. It's going to happen. Created a basic website, put it out there, and then just hoped that people would respond to it, which they did.
Outstanding. Yeah. Thank you.
There's a real sense of, there's so many Bond fans, British Bond fans, and I know it's for English-speaking Bond fans as well, around the world. But there's a sense that it's all a bit all over the place. And there's no real one thing that's connecting us all. And this, I believe, will do it. Because otherwise, it's talking to different people. Oh, I'm going here. I'm visiting this. There's this event there. And oh, it's gone, it's too late, it's booked, it's done, it's sold out. And as Bond fans, you know, you need to book in advance for these kind of things. And obviously you'll get member benefits, I'm assuming, for those type of events.
Well, yes. I mean, you're going to be the first to know about the events as a member. For certain events, it'll be free to attend. Certain events will be ticketed. But for any ticketed event, the members will get a minimum period of priority and preferential pricing. There are benefits beyond just you're going to get a newsletter, you're going to get a card, you're going to, don't forget, part of the membership fee also is donated to charity. With the first run, we donated to UNICEF, but the next one could be any one of the nine charities that we support. So there are benefits to membership, if you will. Yes.
It's great that UNICEF, of course, Roger's charity, and David, you, of course, did your Rogering for UNICEF. If people don't know about that, that was class, wasn't it?
Yeah, we did. I think it was about 94, 95 people raised nearly $3,000 for charity last year.
Amazing.
Because my husband and I decided to watch all 7 Roger Moore Bond films consecutively, which sounds like an absolute pleasure. But trust me, much as I love Octopussy, you get halfway through and you think, whoa, are we going to make it all the way to the end of View to a Kill? So especially when you only allow 20-minute breaks in between for changes of costume and new cocktails. Yeah, we're aiming to repeat the experiment with a slightly more manageable number of films with Pierce Brosnan's in May time. But definitely what Phil said there about the fundraising for charity being really key to the whole thing. I think that if you go onto the website, and I know we'll talk a lot about the website in a minute, but if you go onto the website, you'll see a long list of charities that we'll be donating to. And that was definitely a draw for me. And I know lots of other people as well.
I was interested to ask, David, what drew you? I know you've just said it, really, but what drew you to being a part of this?
Well, I was actually honoured to be asked by Phil, to be honest. I don't know if asked is the right verb, Phil. Is it press ganged instead?
Something along those lines.
So essentially, I had an email. I'd never actually met Phil until last October when we went to an event, a weekend event, which is really cool at Pinewood Studios with lots alumni in attendance. It was around Pinewood Studios area. Fantastic. Organised by the Shaken and Stirred folk who were actually on the board as well of the 007 GB Club. And yeah, it was such a busy weekend. We actually didn't have much in the way of time to kind of get to know each other properly or anything. But I think if I remember correctly, Phil, you emailed me and then suddenly I was editor in chief. Is that about right?
Yeah, I asked about 16 other people first. Okay. And they all said no. I think it was 6 people I asked first. No, I actually didn't ask anybody else first. I did ask you first. I looked at your site. I hadn't met you before, like you say. Didn't I knew of you, but remotely. You weren't that familiar. It was kind of like, oh, who's that guy? And then somebody said, and I was like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. I looked at the work you've done, and I could see that if you were at that event at Pinewood, that was kind of, you had to be really passionate about Bond to be at that event. It wasn't.
Yeah, you did.
It was in a good way.
There was a point in that event where we were all standing in a field trying to spot the location where a helicopter landed in For Your Eyes Only, and you know, the nights before as well with the casino and everything like that. It was like Uber Bond nerds all in one room together. a bit like the start of Tomorrow Never Dies. If anyone was to take us out, you'd take out so much of the proportion of the world's Uber Bond nerds. Yeah, so I know not everyone could be there as well. But yeah.
Well, you're award winning now as well, David, of course.
I mean, when Phil said what kind of role would you like, and I was like, basically anything to do with words, anything to do with money, just keep me away. Anything to do, you know, these are not my areas of specialism, but anything to do with words, I'm your man.
Can I add huge congratulations, David, as well?
Yeah.
For the award. Outstanding.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
There was a collective whoop of joy.
It was indeed.
indeed. Yeah, because we watched it sort of like in our WhatsApp group, we sort of like live enjoyed it together in a sense.
Yeah.
And we were all delighted, absolutely delighted.
I didn't actually find out about it till a few hours after most people. And then I find out, I was so busy at work that I had WhatsApps from loads of people and messages and whatnot. So it was very humbling, actually, especially against some of the people in the category and everything else. But to be Community Writer of the Year, so hopefully I can just keep it up next year.
Yeah. I think Anthony broke the news, didn't he, on Twitter? That's where I saw it first. Yeah,
I think so, yeah. And I think I saw it about 3 hours after the fact, but yeah.
So David, you're obviously an excellent, well-respected writer that's caught everyone's attention. And Phil, you said before, like, you know, you've set up a basic website. It's not basic at all.
No,
you know,
it's
excellent what you've set up in this short amount of time. And the, you know, upon getting membership, the package that was delivered to us, you know, this is quality stuff. This is amazing. And, you know, really well presented, something that you're immediately really proud to be a part of. And on that, you've got a list of upcoming events that are like mouthwatering. And it's one of those where, you know, you think, right, I obviously can't go to all of these, but I've got to try and get to as many of these as possible. Could you like talk us through some of the things you've got lined up for you, like your first year?
Yes, I can.
Because there's plenty.
Thank you for the compliment on the website. I've never designed a website before in my life. I did that completely by swearing at the screen for the entire Saturday, the entire Sunday. A few expletives to my wife when she was asking basic questions like, would you like a gin and tonic? So that's how frustrating it was to build that website. But I hope it's a good base from which we can, the whole community can add articles.
Yes.
Because I didn't want it to be, this is what we've written, you read it. It was, these are the sections, there might be more, but you send us your stuff and we'll put it on here. So this we can all
gonna
enjoy
grow, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So almost to become like a Wikipedia. In 10 years, there should be thousands of articles on that.
Yeah.
So thank you for that compliment. What was the second?
I'm just saying, you like you've got
the membership, well, the membership pack.
You've got stuff lined up already. You know, it's not just talk. You've organized a lot already, which is incredible.
So when we had our first board meeting, I think there was just six of us initially, was there, David? Yeah. Or maybe five.
Yeah.
And we said, this is kind of what we want to do. We want a gala event for charity. We would want some smaller fan meetup events where people could just have a pint, chat, bond. Maybe some other things in between. So we all went away and then we came back and everybody brought some sort of idea to the table. So on that list is a representation, I think, of everybody of the first five people that sat around the table. There's an event mentioned in that membership pack from each one.
Mm.
Obviously, the marquee event of HMS Belfast is the big one. This is the big one, 007.
Yes.
It's the most... For the first year of a club to decide that they are going to do a full-blown charity gala dinner on a World War II Type 35 battle cruiser or whatever it may be is some would say biting off more than we can chew.
But and I that comes from the top. Wow.
But it's important to have. It's important to hit the ground running for a club like this.
Yeah.
The other clubs are doing events similar to this because they've been in operation for 26, 27 years or whatever it may be. We can't naturally spend the next 3 years growing as a club, just meeting in a pub, having a pint, and saying, I like James Bond. Do you like James Bond? Yeah. Shall we go and watch A View to a Kill and hold hands? That's not going to work.
Whoa.
So we have...
It sounds pretty
fair,
good to me, Phil.
That has worked a few times on me. So we wanted to offer people something for everyone, basically. I'm not a golfer, but we've put a golf event in there because there will be members who are and of the obvious Bond connection. We wanted an event that would be free to all the members because we're very aware that obviously still in a financial crisis for a lot of people, and there may be people that have joined so that they can give that charitable donation and be part of a community, but they don't have a high disposable income. But maybe if we offer an event where they can still be part of the community that's free, then we've fulfilled part of our charter. And then having medium-sized and very small events, we're limited by the space of what's available. Things like the Aston Martin Heritage Tour. simply cannot turn up with 100 people. It isn't something that they're supposed to do. It isn't something that they advertise or you can buy a ticket to. It is something that a small group of people can do. So why not do it? And if it's the case of the group, the club will do it with a different handful of club members each year on a rotational basis, then fine. Rather than throw that idea away, let's run with it.
Yeah.
Ian Fleming publications events, things at Duke's. So we've got everything from the biggest to the smallest. Charity will run through the veins of all of those events. But I really do feel like it offers, because it does offer something to everyone. I think that again makes it slightly different than some of the other clubs where they have their one marquee event and that's it. You go to that and you're done till the next year. And that's the list of events. That's not even it. There's more to be populated into as we go along.
We've got this gap, haven't we, now, of waiting for the next Bond. For me, when I got that list of events and I was like, right, I'm not going to be worried about the wait now. I'm so excited about these next few years. We're going to have to wait for the next
Bond. So depressing.
But yeah, Rob.
Well, I don't know. If you watch the last one, I could wait 10 years if they want to serve up that again.
Right. David, if you want to...
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Philippa Manas.
I'm not going to be baited.
And on that point, actually, because I did wonder this when I was thinking about speaking to you tonight, like, David and us, we've got a little bit of license to express our opinions about where the franchise is at the moment. Mm-hmm. But if you're speaking for a wide and varied fan base where you're wanting unity and you're wanting to really celebrate the franchise, are you going to have to kind of rein in your own views? Are you going to have to just constantly be looking forwards?
It's a great question, Harry.
Because
that's tricky.
It is. And you're not wrong in certain aspects. I would never sell my soul to the devil if it meant that we got something. So I'm not going to sit there and across from Barbara Broccoli and tell her that I like Daniel Craig as James Bond. I don't. Do I like his films? Yes, I do. Do other people like his films? Yes, they do. Am I happy that other people love Daniel Craig? I'm over the moon. I'm over the moon that the last 16 years meant a lot to a lot of people. Mm. I don't judge people based on what parts of Bond they do and don't like. I judge people on when they tell me I can't like certain things more than the others.
Yes.
If I want to sit there and watch A View to a Kill for the thousandth time, I know that it's got a sagging middle and it stays in the same location too long. But it doesn't matter. Roger's 57 and he's still
I thought you were talking about his physique then. Sorry.
I thought you were talking about his quiche.
No.
Soggy bottom.
But what you can't to maybe reframe the question, or what you can't do is you can have your own opinions and you can give them out, but what you can't do is tailor a club around your own opinions.
That would
be a mistake. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Would be a big mistake. Genuinely, there are parts, every single person who's played Bond has done something well and something not so well.
Yeah.
Every single Bond film has great bits and bad bits and everything in between. So there's something there if you look hard enough. I'm not a closed-minded person. I'm open to anybody. I like the discussion. So the thought that at the first event, somebody will say to me, Daniel Craig's the best Bond ever. I'll say, I don't agree with that. And this is why I think such and such is. And then we'll have that discussion. And isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah. Exactly.
But I certainly won't exclude any views. And neither will any of the other board members. I think they're all pretty much of the same ilk.
Yeah.
But no, in terms of Eon, I mean, I have... My views are known, and nobody seems to have a problem with it. And
I've got so many things to ask here. Sorry, David.
but that was superbly put.
It really was.
I was just going to illustrate it with the side of things that I've been spending most of my time with so far. So there's an article on the website written by Simon Firth, who I'm sure many listeners recognize the name, writes James Bond nonfiction books with a travel focus. He really hates The World Is Not Enough. I know. He really hates The World Is Not Enough. So when I first read his article that was going on the website, I was just like, oh, okay. He really isn't like World Is Not Enough. But then you read the rest of the article and he spent all of this time in Bilbao in Spain recreating you know, the bits from This World Is Not Enough. But he's like gone to the nth degree, like found all of the locations, like even the really hard to find ones. I'm just like, even though this guy doesn't like this movie, he's still that obsessed that he's going to find all the different locations, give all this contextual information. So I think that's a really good illustration of what Phil's just said about, yes, there will be opinions on the site. I make it a, you know, my editorial policy on my website is, for anyone who writes for License to Queer, is actually, you know, don't destroy other people's enjoyment of films. Kind of like, you know, you can say that you prefer some things to the others, but my point of view always is there's no such thing as anything bad Bond. It's just some things are better than others.
Yeah.
Whereas you might kind of find it a bit different on the 007 GB website. People will say whether they really like or really dislike other things, but then you'll find another piece written, and this is an open invite to anyone out there. If you really love The World Is Not Enough and something about it, then write a little piece about that. Mm. So you will find every viewpoint represented. That's the whole point.
That's that just says to me how much you guys are the right people.
Yeah,
doing absolutely. What you're doing here, involved with this. That is everything I would want to flipping here. You know, like if I was on the fence about, ooh, is this, you know, oh, I don't know how I feel about it. You know, I don't know why anyone would be on the fence, to be honest, but there might be someone who is. But that was just like, wow, well, flipping it. You know, like every opinion is welcome. Every opinion is valid. And because we are in a divisive position in the James Bond franchise at the moment, there's a lot of people who either love or completely hate, or are even worse, are completely like, feel like benign about it, like it's like you know, I don't really have an opinion. It's just, you know, a lot of people just, you know, I'm gonna rein that in.
Yeah, I mean, it amazes me. I've met so many people in this Bond community that absolutely hate. There's one individual that obviously won't name names, but this person hates with a passion a certain Bond actor. I mean, hates with a passion, yet chose to go to a screening of this, of one of these actors' movies on that person's mother's 80th birthday because he didn't want to miss out on being thought of as not there. Now, if you hate the actor, so that's what you get, that end of the spectrum. So I would hate someone to walk away from a conversation with me and think, wow, that guy hates Daniel Craig so much. He, you know, da 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 da, X, Y, Z. No, it's not about, it's not even like convince me I'm right or me convince you you're wrong. I'm jealous that of anybody who enjoyed Daniel Craig as James Bond.
Yeah.
I really am, because I've been robbed of nearly two decades of enjoyment of James Bond because I don't like the actor that's playing the role.
David,
I like him as an actor.
Organize this. So I'm so sorry. We didn't, this is not a proper job.
It's all right, Tom. I'm used to feeling like a minority voice. It's yeah.
Well, we thought we were in this, but no, we won't go on about that tonight. But
all views are welcome. The more diverse views, the better.
I still think, like in my head and my heart, like these are 25 of my favorite movies ever made.
Yeah,
they are. Like, it's just because they're about James flipping Bond, you know, like that's it. Like, so, you know, like, there are gradients of my enjoyment between them all.
It's, but like, 20 of those I really enjoy,
And I like 27 of them, you know.
David, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, nobody likes 1967, and Never Say Never, Never Say Never Again should never have been made. So let's not even go.
We love Kevin McClory here.
Big question though, Philip. You've alluded to the suggestion. Sorry, my dogs are absolutely loving being involved in this at the moment. Someone left the door open. The suggestion that you've been round the table with Eon.
Ooh.
Yes,
and that was mentioned a couple of times back then.
And that's in recent history. That's at this point where the franchise is, which is a fairly is that happened during this fairly critical period.
You may think so. I couldn't possibly comment.
So mysterious, just like James.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This waistcoat is not for decoration. It's to hold all my body in. Don't you worry about it. all of the clubs will have had contact with Eon at some point, as most people that are involved in something that's dealing with the 007 name. All I will say is that the Eon are very happy that there are fan clubs. They're very happy with the fandom, and they don't show favoritism to any of the clubs. Because at the end of the day, whilst they produce these huge films, they are a small run family production company. Yeah. And they trust the clubs to act within the letter of the law. It's almost like I'd memorized saying that, isn't it?
Even more questions. Yeah. The surface.
Sorry, I think my audio's cutting out.
Yeah. If you're enjoying Really 007, why not follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram? Look us up at Really 007 Pod.
Phil, when you were growing up then, how did you get into James Bond? I want to hear your story as a
Yeah, that was my grandfather, that. I was the first grandchild, and he used to record them off the television. And obviously, when we were younger, they were on television on Mondays, on Bank Holiday Mondays, Sundays. It was like a marquee event. It didn't matter if you'd seen it five times. Oh, fine, Bank Holiday Monday, we've done some shopping. It's rained. We've had a bit to eat. Let's watch a Bond film. So my grandfather, he had his own business, wire working business, working class man, been in the RAF, built his business up to a reasonable level, and he spent all of his disposable income on taking his family abroad. And basically, he never said this, and we didn't have a conversation until the last few weeks of his life when I called him on it. But I worked out that he was going on holiday wherever James Bond had gone on holiday. I'd mapped through all of his travel, and bar the, you know, obviously just going away to such and such for 2 weeks, they were all Bond. They were all Bond. And so I used to go over, and I'd go over there once a week at least, and he would give me the recorded tapes where he had paused at the adverts on the ITV adverts for me, so that I could put the VHS in, and when I watched it back, I would see the advert card for Man with the Golden Gun say, then a slight, and then the next bit. And when he passed away as an eldest grandchild, I got first pick of everything. I didn't take anything other than my grandmother's ornamental ducks and all of the James Bond VHS tapes where he had paused. So I still have that entire collection.
Oh, that's so nice. Fantastic.
And I have a sealed VHS recorder still in the box, so that I know that if my VHS recorder, which I don't use, and I ever wanted to put these on, I will have a backup VHS recorder. So even my great-grandchildren can see what their great-great-grandfather did for me.
Wow.
So that's how I got it. That's how I got into Bond. My grandfather and I, we would talk about it. My father liked Bond, but he was more of a sportsman, football, and I did other things with my father. But he was never like, I wouldn't have called him a Bond fan. He liked them. He enjoyed them. He went to the cinema to see them. My grandfather took his children to see every single Bond film from 1962. He just saw it in the paper and said, oh, June, which is my grandmother's name, June, should we go and see this Dr. No, you know, whatever, Q Accrington accent, as he's doing it.
Oh, we are well.
So that's where Bond came from a bonding moment, if you will, with my grandfather. And I was hooked. You know, I would go around, I would play with my grandmother, play with my grandfather, do whatever, and then put me in the front room, let me watch a Bond film, and it would be whatever had been recently on the television. You know, I'd know that he'd recorded it. If we'd been out at the river for a picnic or whatever on the bank holiday money, I didn't get to watch Bond, and I knew and the next time I went, he'd have one ready for me.
That's
where it came from.
So lovely.
That harks back to, because for a lot of people, Bond is a very family thing. You know, David, for yourself, you know, like, I love seeing yourself and your husband's Bond escapades. It's a true family thing, isn't it?
I think the travel thing is definitely a common thread for a lot of people. I think it's worth saying up front now that, and Phil alluded to this earlier on, although, you know, some of us are fortunate enough to do, you know, the exotic travel and all that sort of thing, the club is not just about that side of things. It's, you know, not everyone can afford to go to the Bahamas, but probably most people can afford to go to a multi-story car park and recreate the scene from Tomorrow Never Dies. who among us can ever drive into a multi-story car park and not have backseat driver playing in their head?
I am
incapable of doing it.
Impossible.
That's very much what we're kind of going for, really. That shouldn't be a barrier. But yeah, definitely for me, travel is a big part of it. I love going to Bond locations and that kind of thing as an adult. You know, I won't bore you to death again, because if you want my whole kind of backstory with Bond, it's there on the Diamonds of Forever review.
never
11 and a half hours of it, if you want to go back to the really 007 review,
David, that, you say recorded. This like, yeah. it's the only time that I've listened to an episode of ours twice is that review.
Oh really?
There you go.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. Wow. It was absolutely excellent.
Impressive. I especially love the I know some of it got cut out in the end because we were like delirious, but we were trying to recreate Diamonds Are Forever in Blackpool. That was a particular highlight. Anyway, to answer your question anyway, Rob, it was a family thing with me growing up. It was always on telly, ITV, with the adverts. I didn't cut out the adverts. So there are, I think I said this back when we recorded the Diamonds Are Forever one a couple of years ago, like there are parts of every Bond film where I expect an advert to appear.
Yes.
It's just like, it's like in Living Daylights when Dalton goes, I must have scared the living daylights out of it. And I expect ITV adverts to pop up and all that kind of thing. So, you know, growing up, we were immersed in that. And I think for me, without getting too deep in psychological, which is basically what I do on the website, but, you know, I think for me, the appeal of Bond, it was the traveler and all of those lifestyle trappings and that kind of thing. But I think it does, again, without becoming too serious, I think it does provide for some of us a model of how to kind of live your life, which is slightly scary in some ways. but I think it does. When you can't really relate to a lot of your surroundings and the people around you, I think perhaps Bond does provide an alternative sort of model in a way. So that's kind of my backstory. And I think when I did the initial posts calling for articles for the website, that's the kind of tack that I went. I wrote something like, you know, we're all obsessed, incapable of stopping ourselves thinking about Bond. And it can be those really, really simple things. You know, it might not necessarily be going out for an expensive meal. It could be, you know, just buying an ingredient in the shop, which you've never bought before. And, you know, having a go at cooking it because you've read about it in a Bond book or you've seen it in a Bond film, something like that. And that's the kind of cracking
preparation.
He does make a cracking quiche, to be fair. But, you know, in all seriousness, we do really want that mix of content on the website. We do want the kind of luxurious experiences and these amazing events that are going to take place as part of the club. But we also want the day-to-day things where, you know, I think about James Bond at least about 150 times a day. Yeah. And I'm sure everyone here is the same. And I'm sure most of the members of the club are the same.
You're so right, because like, I think about it in a very similar way in that, like, I think about, wouldn't it be amazing to go for breakfast in the Bahamas, for example? But then if I'm not in the Bahamas, and we will come back to that. Even more questions now arising. Yeah. But I also, you know, like when I go for a breakfast at the Premier Inn, service station, I'm thinking that I would like to.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry.
This club was for the everyman. No. But I go in there and I'm thinking of like, he ordered figs and black coffee, you know, things like that. You know, like I'm literally, I'm still in that same absolute mindset and find the Bond in everything.
Yeah. So every time I go to Morrison's and I see figs, I think of From Russia With Love. I'm like, oh, I might eat figs for breakfast tomorrow. I literally, every time I go to the supermarket, I can't stop myself.
No, and I'm not thinking that I'll probably end up with diarrhea for the rest of the morning if I have figs for breakfast.
I've done it. I've ordered the black coffee, the figs, and the toast, and it's not a very nice breakfast.
No. Maybe never.
Aside from the fact, I had to say figs three times because I think I was in Cabo San Lucas, and the woman on the other end of the phone had no idea what I was talking about. Figs. Figs. No idea. I didn't know what I was going
to
get.
This never happened to the other fella.
Exactly. And swear to God, they came uncut, unwashed, shriveled up. And I turned to my wife and went, this never happened to the other fellow.
Yes.
That was a good joke as well.
It was.
I think that should be a whole new thread. That should be a new section on the website. I think the article that's minor on there already about, you know, James Bond ordering martinis the wrong way. Maybe it should be a whole section. James Bond really has terrible taste. Which he does. Let's be honest, he does. Apart from scrambled eggs, he has terrible taste in most things. So, yeah.
How does he have his scrambled? I had no idea on this. Scrambled eggs?
Oh, that's his preferred breakfast.
Yeah, that's the best scrambled eggs recipe.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking before.
If you want a really good scrambled eggs recipe, it's there in the short story, which is basically just a recipe for scrambled eggs with a story as an excuse in the 007 in New York. And it is a cracking scrambled eggs recipe. But
All right, Delia Smith. Yeah, all right.
Another article coming on, I can feel.
Yeah, I know. I can't stop myself.
I was thinking, you know, because obviously you mentioned your grandfather there, Philip, and it made me think of you, Rob. That's one of your ways, isn't it? Watching it with your granddad. And then I was thinking, there's at the moment with Bond, there's not that much memorabilia. There's not much stuff, even by way of stubbies from cinema tickets to going to see them. And I was just thinking about us guys, you know, and like the next generation, how good it will be just to find this 007 fan club membership. Like that's something of belonging. And we've all, you know, we're buying into that as adults. It's not like a childhood thing. That's how meaningful it is to us that someone, you know, when we pass on, someone will discover our 007 fan club. I don't know where the franchise will be at that stage, but you know, it's just to have physical things and possess things that are to do with Bond like that.
It's more social media, isn't it? It's harking back to our childhood and meeting and talking about it properly.
Yeah.
Open the time capsule. Newspaper says 007 GB president embezzles £1 million. Didn't give to charity. Club has ended.
Blown it on all figs. Yeah.
But you're very. It's a great point, Harry. Can you imagine, like, when we were, you know, that night in particular, I keep thinking about when me and Tom came back from watching GoldenEye at the cinema, and you and Math were up. And can you imagine that if we knew of a dedicated James Bond fan club that was doing what you guys are going to do, we'd have been, our minds would have been shredded, absolutely shredded. And it would have been like a life goal, like when we're old enough, we're going to have to, you know, be involved in this some way
So
exciting. It's amazing. It is so exciting. Yeah.
Well, that's what we built it for. And that's what we're doing. And it's all of our club now. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's not David, all of ours.
Rob just said, you know, something you'd want to be involved in. Is there a way or an avenue for fans to be involved or to get involved? There's, you know, people who want to contribute more to the club.
I mean, we're going to have these events, and these events are going to have celebrities, and these celebrities, they need people to look after them along the way. We need people to sit with them when they're doing their autographs, make sure that they're get to the taxi on time. We're going to need people to help set up certain rooms, not for every event, for some events. And at those key moments, we'll like the other clubs do, we put the call out and we say, look, this is what we need you to do. Who wants to do it? I mean, as it stands, we've got the 12 members of the board, and that's big enough.
Yeah.
There's enough people there that we should be able to make a success of this. But along the way, anybody who feels like they've got a contribution to make, they can just email. I mean, nobody's going to be turned away in terms of, you've got an idea. Do we need another person to do X, Y, Z? Maybe not. But, I'm doing this event on Sunday. I'm raising money. Can the club put that on the website? Yes. I'd like to write an article. Send it in. I would like to offer my services to help look after the VIPs. Fine. I'll put you on the list. And then we you know, the club creates a list of trusted people that we can work with on certain things. So that's kind of where it is at the moment.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
When I said that we've got the schedule of events, and I said there might be some extra things peppered in, if any of the club members say, I want to do a showing of The Man with the Golden Gun at my local cinema, can we put that out there? And does the club want to join us for that? Yes. It's not, we don't have to think of the events. The members can come to us with other events as well.
Yeah, super.
Big or small, just let's try and coalesce and say that we're doing things as part of the club, because individually, all the people involved in the board of the club, or most of them, have their own websites, podcasts, or Instagram, or things that they're doing, and they have a voice there. But if they bring it within the wheelhouse of the club as well, it enhances or enriches both parties.
Yeah.
So nothing would bother me more than to find out that a club member could have just reached out to the club and we could have raised 10 times more if it had been all of us involved, things like that.
Yeah.
That's superb. Can I ask about a fantasy future projection from you both, David and Philip? Like, obviously the club is just about to really get started, isn't it? Is there a moment in the future that, like, do you have a dream moment that you're hoping to attain, or a dream achievement that you're hoping to attain with your involvement with the club?
For me, it's two things. When we've raised our first 10,000, that will be a validation. So at some point this year, that will happen, I have no doubt. So that will be one of the things I said to myself, you know, we need to get 10,000, and I don't think that would be an issue. And the second is when we give John Glenn his Lifetime Achievement Award aboard HMS Belfast, which is what we are doing, by the way, that will be a dream realized for me, recognizing someone that I feel, with the exception of Barbara and Michael, has contributed more to James Bond, who is living, by the way.
Yeah,
contributed more to James Bond than anybody else currently alive.
Totally agree.
You can shut down the club after that, can't you?
Exactly. So when I posed this idea, and I spoke to John for half an hour today, so I know your podcast is going to go out and people are going to hear this. It's not a problem. It's not going to be a secret for much longer. We have to tell people at some point. This is part of the evening. When I mentioned this to the club members, to the board members, they were unanimous in, yes, we have voted. We vote to give the Lifetime Achievement Award to John Glenn. The time is right. He's a superhuman being.
Yeah.
And whether you like Roger Moore or Timothy Dalton or not, he reigned through the decade of the 80s. There's no other director that has consistently given out five franchise films like that and all been successful.
Yeah.
There's nobody that has a technician in films that has contributed quite as much as he has. And he's a wonderful human being.
Yeah, he is.
So when I see him receive that award, surrounded by some of his friends and all of us who passionately love James Bond, that for me, with the charitable raising, with the other, the goal of hitting the 10 grand, those are the two things for me. I'll think this was worth it. This was a success. It worked, because I already know the people all being together, we're all going to enjoy it. We're not that demanding. If we're all together and we're talking about Bond, we're all happy. So I'm pretty sure David would agree with me. We've nailed that bit in terms of offering people an opportunity to be together. That bit I'm not worried about. But the other two bits, so we put them as, again, as a three, and I'll be over the moon. And that'll be dream realized for me. Wow. So I've given back something. I told the other presidents that these kind of people like John Glenn and the technicians like John Grover and all those sorts of people, they were the architects of my childhood. Bond was an escape from an otherwise dreary working class upbringing in Accrington. And they're not unsung heroes, because they were paid and they did very well and they've had good lives, but they are not quite as recognized as they should be. Giving John that Lifetime Achievement, I think, resonated with the entire board, didn't it, David?
It's resonated with us here.
I was going to say, I loved watching your guys' reactions, because I knew Phil was going to say that at some point, but I was like, he's just dropped it in there casually, and just watching your faces was absolutely priceless.
That was unbelievable to hear.
Action. This is John Glenn. You're listening to 007 Podcast.
Really 007.
Really 007.
D David, yeah. What about yourself? What do you have your like?
I'm not gonna top Phil's revelation there. I'm just managing expectations, okay? But in my mind, and I know Phil and I have talked a little bit about this. You know, this is Phil has put, and it really can't be overstated. Phil has put so much time into this already and energy. But we had a conversation on the phone last week about this as well as kind of touching on it at the board meetings. But this has to be something that ultimately is self-sustaining. It can't just be one person. It can't just be a board. It needs to be community driven. Ultimately, you know, Phil is incredibly passionate. Every member of the board is incredibly passionate. And we're all very grateful to Phil for starting this off. But ultimately, it does need to be something that, you know, is for the members, and the members help drive that. So if I could kind of try and encapsulate that in sort of an image, you know, we've got these events planned through the year, and Phil's already alluded to this as well. But what about, you know, people are heading up to London for the weekend, or not just London, because, you know, I'm the most southern out of the lot of you guys. So, you know, we need to get events, you know, further north as well, wherever we're headed. But can you just imagine, it's not a bit, you know, the big events are going to be absolutely brilliant, like HMS Belfast. All the photos and everything we've seen so far look absolutely fantastic. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. But then it's going to be the kind of less formal events as well. And just imagine a bunch of 007 GB members turning up at a bar or a museum or wherever it is together. And this is going to sound really, really cheesy, but getting their plastic cards out with their double O membership numbers on, putting them on the bar or whatever. And it's just like, you know, or almost recognizing each other in that sense. You know, I've had lots of people over the last couple of years I've been doing my thing say, you know, oh, are you planning any events and that sort of thing? Events are not easy to organize. They're really not, to kind of get people together. I know you guys did a brilliant job of the License to Kill screening with the Prince Charles Cinema and with Paul Weston and that kind of thing. And those things are absolutely brilliant, but I know they take an awful lot of organizing. But those sorts of things in the last year or so, following lockdowns and stuff, have given us a real taste of what we want to, you know, what we want to do as a bond community. And I really feel now is the time to take that to the next level. So yeah, that's my picture. So I'm putting my 004 card down on a bar somewhere, and someone else puts theirs next to it, and it's just like just us all coming together.
You're 004.
Yeah, Phil gave me that number, which I was really happy about, because it's the name of it's the 00 of Joseph Dryden, who's a character in Kim Sherwood's Double or Nothing novel.
Yeah, who I really love. Absolutely amazing.
But that what we're talking about here, for me, even, you know, speaking to all these people is amazing. John Glenn, I mean, we told him that this is the greatest moment of our lives, talking to him. But just meeting Bond fans and them not looking weird when you quote, you know, completely obscure parts of films, outfits that Bond wears and this kind of thing. It was overwhelming for me when I went to London, because we haven't really been involved with that until post-lockdown, effectively. And it was like a release and being led out into the wild. He's incredible. And it's so emotional, you know, like seeing David for the first time. It's very emotional. And just to sit.
Yeah, I always get very upset when I see him too.
Yeah, just to, if it's in a bar, HMS Belfast, local pub, chatting Bond, absolutely fantastic. And I know on the website it also says perhaps screenings of Bond films. Man with the Golden Gun in, I don't know, in Bolton one night. That sounds good.
Yes, if we're going to do some screenings, we're definitely going to make them northern based. I'm not driving all the way down or flying or taking the train to watch.
Well, you can't take the train
for the 50th time in London. I'm not doing it. Just not doing it. I don't care how much I love Bond. I'm not doing it.
If so you we'll build do, it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We'll do the northern screening. We'll do a northern screening, and it doesn't really matter if it's just us that turns up.
No.
What do you think about the idea of like groups of the GB fan club meeting? You know, like if there was like, for example, let's say, let's pick where a bunch of us are from the Northwest, like a Northwest chapter almost of that kind of thing. How would that fit into things?
I think it's perfectly reasonable. The other clubs do the same thing. You know, in Switzerland, some of them are 3-4 hours apart. They may on the same night all go to like four different areas. They all go to the pub, you know, so you've got six or seven of you having a meal and a chat, because that's all you're doing. So it seems pointless to all go to one central location and pay for hotels and transportation.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why we shouldn't do that. I think, like David said, people get the cards out at the bar and nudge and a wink, and we're all Bond fans.
The idea of doing, you know, like one of the, Tom, you did it with John Marino. You know, like a phrase.
Innsbruck is, yeah, I forgot.
He's a nice guy.
He's a lovely guy. He's a nice
guy. Yeah. I'm just acknowledging, Rob, as soon as you said chapter, did everyone else just think of Joe Butcher in License to Kill?
Yeah. Yeah. Your heart.
That's like, no, that's like the band right. Fan test.
You know, for years, honestly, each of our meditation, I still think it's Michi Bar meditation chapter. It's like, big problem with this. Years down the line. Oh no!
Yeah, I'm non-Wayne Newton for quite a long time. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. If he lived closer, we would definitely have him on HMS Belfast because he really got on well with John. But he doesn't. He lives in Vegas. It's not happening. I've actually held his wife's wedding gown. That's how much I'm wearing.
Bless your heart.
The shame is that she wasn't in it because Kathleen is still beautiful to this day.
All right,
really is.
Well, we'll have to go to Vegas then, won't we? Because
absolutely
on HMS Belfast.
bring it out of retirement. But if you ever are in Vegas, let me know, because he's still doing shows, you know.
Yeah.
What a man.
He's in his 80s and he comes out, he knocks it. I was there in October, front row. He comes out because I didn't tell him I was going and he's looking, he's laughing. What a great guy. Great guy.
This is brilliant. Absolutely.
I don't know whether I've left this conversation with more questions than answers.
Wayne Newton.
So I'll go on better. I was at Robert Darby's house for barbecue.
Right, that's enough. That is enough. Okay. That's enough.
No. And just by happen chance, flying back.
Oh, you weren't joking.
With Gran. It wasn't. It was Gran's house. You know, Gran Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and his wife Sharon. And then I left there in LA on a Sunday. I flew to Philadelphia. I went out, I was connecting in Philadelphia, so I went outside for a cigarette at Philadelphia Airport. I walked outside, and I swear to God, a limo pulled up, well, a town car pulled up, Wayne Newton got out, and he's walking towards me. And I'm like, no, this is bullshit. This can't be, you know, I have just this morning been, or the previous day with Robert Darby and Graham Bush. This doesn't even compute. So I told him, and that's how we became friends. Because I could prove to him. I know Robert Darby. I know Robert Darby. You know. and I swear to you, he said, right. Well, I've just done a gig in Atlantic City. I'm flying back to Vegas on a private jet. Do you want to come back with me? And I swear to you, I said no. And I have no idea to this day why I ever said no. This was over a decade ago. But why the hell would you say no to getting on Wayne Newton's private jet? I mean, maybe because Mum said don't take candy from strangers, but it was, yeah. Anyway, but since then, I've been fortunate enough to meet him a few more times, go to his house and whatnot. But wow, yeah, forget it. Yeah, you are going to leave. You're going to leave every conversation you ever have with me with more questions. And I swear to you, all of the stuff that I say is true. It's ridiculous, but it's true.
That only affirms why the right person to have this position.
Yeah. This is perfect for building these connections with the people that we love in the franchise. Because the ones we've spoken to, they're so appreciative. Because we tell them how much we value them. And I think some Bond podcasts and other things, they've just never had that. They've just sort of, can we just chat to you about your film? And, how did you find this? Us lot, we're absolutely mesmerised by these people. And they probably don't get it, do they? Some of them don't understand why we're so drawn to them. And it's that childhood thing, isn't it?
The ones that I know, they're very appreciative of the fans. They really like being real fans. I'm always the one that say, oh, God, a fucking weirdo that guy was. And they'll say to me, oh, Philly, don't be so bad. Why are you saying this? You can't say that. He loves me. He loves me. He loves Bond. Don't be nasty. I was like, no, he stinks. He's a weirdo. Let's get rid of him. And even at that point, they don't Yeah, never. but even at that point, I've never heard them belittle the fans. And this is God's honest truth.
Yeah.
With all the ones that I know, and I'm sure you know a lot yourselves, but I've spent some significant time with some of these in some very private situations where they could very easily dog on us as fans.
Yeah.
And I've never heard it. I've heard it in other fandoms, but I've never heard it from any of the people involved in this. They really love us, and they really love the fact that they were part of Bond. They're really proud of it.
Yeah.
It's a real badge of honor for them. Yeah, it's fantastic, actually.
Just to mention some of the things that you've got planned. You mentioned the golf day, and I know Rob would obviously be massively up for that.
I've got my Slazengers ready.
Yeah, that's. I'm not a golfer, but it just seemed like something. Well, David wanted something close to his house for a start, so we're doing it for Alfred. So.
I don't play golf, but I do like wine. So
we'll all be in the 19th hole, won't we? Waiting for everybody.
Well, we're going to have tentative plans at the moment for the golf. But whilst the people are golfing, there will be Bond celebrities in the clubhouse because we'll be having a barbecue. So
you go play golf, Rob. You go and play golf.
Yeah, can I forget playing golf?
So there will be a two-staged event there, so that anybody can, again, we were trying to think of how can anybody get involved. So by having a secondary program for the private room that we were going to use when we came in anyway, I just said to the golf place, well, can we just have it for the whole time? We'll be spending money at the bar. So we'll have a two-program event there for golfers and non-golfers. And I think David agreed to this, but I think the ninth hole will be there with our cocktail shakers making the golfers martinis. I don't know, maybe.
Oh, this is brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Because when I saw that, I was like, oh, I can't play golf, but I'd love to go. And that, what you just said, you've just sold it to everybody who doesn't play golf. It's another great chance. Yeah. And it's a bit nearer to us.
That's it. Yeah, that's right. And it's a hotel resort. So if anybody wants to stay over, we're right on site, so we don't have to trundle through the streets. Again, it's just trying to cover all aspects of what Bond does, and you know, golf does make a pretty big impression in that golfing scene.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, maybe because Penfold Golf have a resurgence, maybe someone's put me in contact with them. Maybe the golf is a good idea. Yeah. Don't know.
I might know who that is. You might have a YouTube channel.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really, Douglas 7 podcast, keep moving going. Keep the strong going. Y'all keep the strong going.
I'm moving down this decanter nicely, actually.
It's doing very well, yeah. Is that going to be available on the website? Are there going to be things you can buy? Yeah.
Can I ask you? Sorry, is it Phil or Philip? Sorry, I thought that was that.
I usually go by Phil. There. No. I go by Phil, but I answer to both. Also, Mr. President, Captain Fantastic, asshole.
A personal question for you, just so people get to know you a bit better. Are you a member of any other fan clubs?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Are there any other... You know,
just killed James Bond.
Is it just Bond for you, or, you know, are there other similar things that you are a part of?
I'm not a member of any other fan club other than the Swiss, German and French
James Bond
clubs. But I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm an even bigger Star Trek fan.
Oh.
But James Bond is my first passion. But no, I've never, there's never really been the ones that I felt that would represent us. I think we've been rather underserviced here.
Yeah.
There's good things in other countries. Maybe because everything's just here for us, so they feel like there isn't a demand.
Yeah.
Or there's that commercial aspect that the brands can never really quantify. I mean, a brand we know quite well from a franchise we know quite well could commercialize a fan club, but it's a lot to organize, so they don't tend to. But when it's in other countries, they're sort of underserviced, so the fan clubs are born out of like a naturalness. But no, I'm not a member of any others. Nothing against them. Just I don't really know of many. I don't know of the Star Trek club, the Star Wars club. I've never heard of them.
And Bond lends itself, doesn't it, to sort of that lovely aspirational getting dressed up, having a cocktail, going in a nice restaurant, and just doing, trying to protect. I mean, when we were kids, we just wanted to be Bond. We put on dinner jackets when we were like eight, you know, because we just wanted to be more like him. And it,
I used to use my mum's black jacket because it was shorter than my dad's.
Yeah.
When I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
Because it was a school blazer for us, isn't it?
Well, my school blazer was blue, so I couldn't use that. But I used to use my school trousers and my mother's mother's black with the shoulder pads, so I look like Joel Collins walking around there shaking my shirt. Oh, Miss Moneypenny. Oh, and my dad would be like, "What the hell are you doing? Like, Dallas Dynasty, you know?" So not against it. But what about you, David? Are you a member of any other clubs?
No, I'm other not really. Rock? I'm not. I'm not a massive joiner inner generally, but when it comes to Bond, it's kind of like, you know, it just map on, like you've just given examples of, it just maps onto like everyday life so much. Like you, I'm a Star Wars fan, massive Star Wars fan. I've done the Disney parks and all that kind of stuff, but you're not going to really turn up to work with a lightsaber swinging from your belt, are you? But you know, you can.
I covered the front up. Yeah.
Walked into that one day.
Yeah.
I know. But you know, I haven't changed from work today, apart from to take my tie off. But you can wear like spectacles to work. You know, it's like all that kind of stuff. You can do James Bond stuff without sometimes people realizing.
Just being a spy, isn't it? Blending in.
You
can have those, as David Zaritsky would say, those invisible Bond moments.
Yeah.
I won't do an impression now.
Well, of David Zaritsky, the Bond experience. My wife wants to, because he's done so much work, so many years he's done there with that. What a fantastic channel. Mm. But she wants to do a supercut of him introducing himself. Because if you just flick through his videos or you go, "Hi, the David Zaritsky, David Zaritsky, the Bond experience, David Zaritsky, David Zaritsky." And it would be so funny to do. So like, I mean, it's ruined now because you probably listened to this, but I wanted to do it for like a big birthday of his as like a supercut of him just going, "This is David Zaritsky for the Bond experience." I mean, obviously we haven't even talked about David, but you know, David Zaritsky, the other David, David Zaritsky has been so supportive of the club from day one, even before I brought any other people on board. I was, you know, having conversations with David about the club and how it would be and what it should look like. And he was nothing but supportive. He was just like, "Well, I'll be there. You go out, you get your vision, you get your team." He didn't want people to feel like he was interfering and using his influence and saying, "I'm an American and here's a British club." The reality is he's been a fantastic advisor. And now once we had set out and people like David and Miles, Simon and all the rest of the board had come together and we decided what we wanted, then David Zaritsky said, "Right, now you can say I'm in. I'm going to be your director of experiences. I'm going to assist you with getting the message out online." And he's part of the formation of the ideas for the events and will be hosting certain events for us along the way. He's a key partner and he's actually a really nice guy. All that work he's done with to build the Bond experience up from 10 years ago, from slightly shaky original videos to now being like the premier source for that kind of thing. I mean, it's absolutely superb, but we probably talk 5 times a week on the club at the moment. And I'm running my own business. I'm incredibly busy. He's incredibly busy running his business. Yeah. We're carving out this time to get it right because, you know, people like David, our David, David Lowbridge, he doesn't have 5 hours to just decide, "I'm going to give, you know, I'm not going to work for 5 hours here in the middle of the day because it's my business and I can do what I want." Yet he's still carving out the time.
Absolutely.
So with the 12 of us, we're all filling in the gaps and we're all working together. And it very much is, from now or from the last few weeks, it's a team effort.
We found that from Bond fans, I think, because they're so passionate about it. It's that phrase I always use: if you want something doing, ask a busy person. All of us, we're all really busy with loads of different things, but we make sure we make time for Bond because we absolutely love it. And even if it's last minute, oh, so-and-so wants to do an interview tomorrow. Yeah, of course we make time for it. This is what the hopes are, isn't it, for the fan club, that people will put these dates in the diary, get them booked, yep. Let's all meet up. Yeah, so what's the next one then, Philip?
Well, we got this weekend. Well, it depends on when you put this out.
When
you
put it out, yeah. It'll have gone by the time.
Yeah, okay, so this weekend will be gone, so that's that, which isn't really our event, but the London Film Fair have got quite a lot of Bond guests. So we said, look, any of the Bond board that are available, we should go down, meet some of the Bond guests and tell our members that we're going to be there and have a drink at the bar. Very low-key, very much not an official event, just a nice add-on. And those things will happen throughout the year when there's those key moments where the club members might already be attending. Just say, look, this is where we'll be. Let's meet at the bar at 1 o'clock. So you don't have to buy a ticket from us. Just go to the film fair and we'll see you at 1 o'clock. For those who are there, you're there. If you get there at 2:30, we've already gone. Tough. It was there. But the first official gathering is March the 11th, which is at Cafe Society opposite the SIS building. The board, we selected a location that we thought was correct in terms of its size and capacity. But unfortunately, when we went back after we'd agreed it, they'd given it away to somebody else. So we had to find an alternative location. And by happenstance, we found a much better location.
Oh.
Albeit a smaller one, but it's directly opposite the SIS building. Actual MI6 and MI5 or whoever agents, they use this cafe. But we'll have this cafe to ourselves for the Saturday afternoon from 1 till 6. We'll have certain Bond guests in attendance. I'm not going to say who they are because bar two of them, I have no idea who the rest are. There might only be two. But it's free to all members. You can bring a guest, but you'll have to pay a ticket for the guest. And that money will go towards the charitable giving that we do. And it'll be a chance to have some Bollinger, have some martinis. There'll be a speciality cocktail that's non-alcoholic, which all those things for you to buy. And we can just enjoy the view, get some great pictures, and then we'll hand over digitally to an event in the US that's happening on the same day that starts when our event finishes.
Oh, fantastic idea.
Which is not run by us, but it's run by the Bond Bros, and they're doing an event. I think we will probably all know what it is, and the name escapes me, but it's a hotel mentioned in one of the books. It's in Miami.
Go on, David.
The Fountain, Hotel Fontainebleau.
Caesars says no, it's not the Fontainebleau. It's not like the
you know that, didn't you?
Yeah, I've said that. Oh, you said that.
You said that, yeah.
It was full of posers. I really didn't care for it. No, I was not in good enough shape. Yeah, the bars are always good. You can make a bar in the Premier Inn.
in Blackpool, remaking Diamonds Are Forever.
Not far from Philip, so could be done.
Yeah, Blackpool's far enough away, though. It's not the best. Any members on the aren't listening to this from Blackpool?
You can certainly recreate it.
We love Blackpool.
I can't remember where their event is. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to pass over to them because I was invited to that event, but obviously it just so happened to be the same day as our event, so can't. But that we're going to pass over from MI6 straight to a hotel mentioned in, I think, two or three Bond novels. I think that's a really nice way to pass over to our American cousins, because we have members of 007 GB that are attending that event, and we have members attending our event because we've got members in 16 countries now, I think.
Brilliant.
So it's not just an appeal to British fans. I could name random countries, but we do have Thailand, one of the smaller Greek islands. Yeah, we have people everywhere, literally do. I think the strangest one was Saudi Arabia.
Oh, nice.
I didn't expect one from there, but obviously a few from Italy, a lot from France and Germany, and the bulk from the UK, and a good chunk from America, Because again, they're not serviced either. They don't have anything.
No, they don't, do they? No. Well, Philip, please tell us how do we join? Where can we find you on social media? And where can we sort of get involved ourselves?
Well, you can join on the website. You can click the membership form, or you can pay directly on there. And that's 007gb.co.uk. And the website actually has a list of the events we've got coming up for this year now. It has the registration for the first event on March the 11th. I'll link through to that. And it has the membership form to fill in. On Instagram, you can follow us if you so choose, and that's 007 GB Club. Pretty much say that we're at the moment building that Instagram page. Obviously, it's from nothing to something.
Yeah,
we got 750 followers at the moment. That's not representative of what the club will be, but it's only been inactive for 12 weeks.
Yeah.
And those are all natural followers that have just found us. Yeah. I mean, at the moment, we've got enough members that I feel the club is already a success.
Yeah.
Do we want more? Yes, we do, because more Bond fans is always a good thing.
Yeah.
So do you have to, if you can afford it, join. If you can't afford it, join. But no, it's one of those things. I do think that people who join the club will feel the value of the proposition.
Yeah, it's a great gift to get somebody you know who's a Bond fan as well.
That's a great gift.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I was thinking, you know, I would encourage all listeners to obviously join, and then once you've joined, find an event and go for it. You might, you know, it might be a little bit daunting to go to your first event or whatever, but just put it in the diary and go for it. And it builds from there, doesn't it? Just taking that big first step. And it might be, like you've said, you message a friend, you get them to be a member and you go together. You come in groups, you come in pairs, or, you know, with your family or whatever, just to take that leap and sign up.
Absolutely. I mean, we will, you know, for things like the HMS Belfast, the difference in the pricing between the member price and the non-member price would make membership almost impossible to turn down. Which is I think what David came up with, or maybe Miles, or maybe a combination. Miles, of the two. Yeah. If you don't join at some point, then
you will be bushed.
The club. Let me explain this a little bit better. I've been eloquent all night, and this is the one point where I'm struggling, because it's, I guess this one's, it's not that it's like super important, but it's hard to phrase in the right way without sounding. If people don't support it, then it won't be here. There you go. There's a quick way of saying it.
Yeah.
So people who sat on the sidelines thinking that they can come to the events and enjoy the events without becoming part of the process. No, because we're all volunteers.
Yeah.
We're not even being paid expenses. You know, I went down to HMS Belfast last week in order to do a recce on it. We've had another board member do that. David's going to be doing stuff. Miles, everybody's going to incur their own expenses here. If people don't support the club, it just can't be here. There are certain things that are needed to keep the light on. And we're good for now. But long term, if the club wants to go to the next level, which I believe it does, and I believe we can do, then yeah, people need to join up. So if you've got the money and you love Bond, this is the thing to do.
And when the first an event go out, you'll see, you'll be like, I've got to join. I've got to go to that next time.
Yeah. Mm.
I said a little while back, you know, as we were talking, I said, you know, I'm not a natural joiner inner, because, you know, why would you necessarily throw, you know, join in something that's something that's kind of unproven? But to a large extent, it's Phil's passion that early on that convinced me that this, and certainly at that very first board meeting, where it was only about five or six of us, I think, wasn't it, Phil? Where
it was, yeah.
We were so instantly on the same page, and it is that passion for anything Bond related. And, you know, your podcast started completely out of passion. You started just only a couple of months after me. What you were saying, Tom, earlier about busy people, you know, you make yourself even busier, but you make the time for Bond. That's exactly what inspired me to do what I do. But in Phil's case, and I might have this wrong, Phil, I think you were probably a bit fed up with waiting for someone else to get around to come and do this.
Yeah.
And it, you know, if you hadn't started, if someone else had started it, you'd have been a member. And that's why I do what I do. Because for years, I've just like, I'm waiting for someone to do what I now do. Yes. So I was thinking, right, I'll put my money where my mouth is. Let's just do it. But it is, you know, and it is just pure passion. There is no money making involved whatsoever in any of our projects here that we do, but we just do it because we love it. And I think that's the really important thing to remember. So if you are still thinking about whether you want to become a member, there's nothing underhand. There's nothing, there's no dodgy terms and conditions or whatever. It's just literally a bunch of people who love Bond so much that they want to share that with other people. That's it.
What more can you ask for?
In a nutshell, it is.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Philip and David, for joining us tonight. We genuinely are really excited, all six of us on the podcast. And it does seem like something that has crazily not been happening since we've joined in the fandom officially. But it is now happening. And whilst we're really excited to join in, you've got to join. You've got to join that membership and be part of it. And we encourage all our listeners and viewers on YouTube to join in, and we will be advertising it. We will be going to some of these events, and we can't wait to start chatting complete nonsense about James Bond with Phil and with David and with the other members from all over the country and beyond. So thank you, gents, for joining us. We love James Bond, don't we? That's all it's about.
We love James Bond. This is the top and bottom of it. Yeah. It is. It's the best. And now we've got a British club that can keep the British end up.
Yes. And that is what, in fact, well, remember, that's what the fanzine is going to be called, isn't it? The annual magazine.
Keeping the British End Up, yes.
Yeah.
And also the first gala dinner, we're going to take that as well, Keeping the British End Up, because it's such a good line. And I love that film. I love Roger.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you've already closed down, but now we're into that. When you've said we just love James Bond, that's what tips you over. You know? But James, I need you.
So does England.
It just doesn't get any better, does it? It's just fantastic.
No.
This is Susie Banner from The Spy Who Loved Me. This is for Really 007. I just want to say, oh, James, I need you.
Philip and David. David, it's always great to see you, mate. I hope you and Anthony are well, and all my best to you both. Philip, it's an absolute pleasure to meet you tonight. Both of you, I hope this goes so, so well in the immediate sense for the pair of you, but also for us all, because, wow, it's exciting. So it's been great to see you both tonight. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Well, yeah, no, I really appreciate this. I've really enjoyed digitally, virtually meeting you both, and Rob as well. And always nice to see you, David. So nicely coiffed hair and his lovely pink shirt.
Yeah. Famous library as well.
Yes, of course. Yes.
I have many leather-bound books. My apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Yeah. There you go again.
Right. Down it goes. Scotch, scotch, scotch.
Yeah. My God, you're thirsty. One of the best lines in No Time to Die. We will be debating that soon, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed.
Don't get us onto Craig and all that. David knows as well.
That's a whole nother. That's something for another
don't,
day.
Don't, Phil. Yeah. Don't. No.
No. Right. Great to see you guys. Looking forward to meeting you in person. And yeah, James Bond's the best.
Can't wait.
Enjoy the family.
It is. Perfect.
See you later.
Ciao, everyone. See you later.
Take care. Bye.
Really, Douglas.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.